John and Jerry on Cafe-phrenic. What are you drinking?
Beer.
Beer?
The classic. Jim Beam and Coke Zero.
You like Coke Zero?
I have to drink Coke Zero because if I didn't, I'd be enormous.
Oh, I know. I like Coke Zero, but Connie won't drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
what?
Not my first choice.
It's not your first choice. What? I can't tell any difference between Coke Zero and Coke.
I can.
You can?
There's a big difference. That's like frozen yogurt and ice cream. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah. Frozen yogurt. I've never had frozen yogurt.
Pretty good.
Have you ever tried just a plain tub of whipped cream?
Yeah.
Put it in the freezer till it gets kind of hard like ice cream.
Is that good?
Yeah, I like it. Hey, Teresa. Hey, Hispanidad. We'll have Jerry on here as a moderator. I just want to apologize to everyone for putting the wrong date on here. So I guess a lot of people will tune in tomorrow night. And I got my dog here. See the dog? Hey, girl.
What's your dog's name?
Callie. Actually, that's short for California.
That's cute.
So, didn't me and you get into it a couple of years ago about something?
Get into it?
Yeah, like an argument or something, a fuss or a spat.
I don't think so.
Okay.
We may have debated about yoga, but I don't think we got into it.
Are you not a yoga fan?
I used to teach yoga.
Did you really? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was like really deep in yoga.
Yeah, like
along the lines of like, be careful. I don't think we fought or anything like that.
Let me ask you a few questions, okay? You are a devout Catholic. And hey, is this light too bright?
No. Let me know if mine is.
Well, I feel like your voice is trailing a little, lagging.
Mine is?
Yeah. Hey, JR, is her voice trailing a little bit? Can you tell Lou? Hey, Lou, Teresa. Can y'all tell? Does she sound a little, or is it her alcohol content? It might be that you've been drinking and you just sound slurred. Like it's dragging a little bit. Do this.
I don't know why I'm doing it. Yes, I can hear you.
See, it's like watching one of those foreign movies on Netflix, like from Poland, where you think you're watching an American crime show, but you see their mouth moving when no one's talking. Then they start talking, and there's no mouth moving. She said it's not dragging. Okay,
Jerry. We were at our own subtitles to those movies.
Okay.
When we were kids. There was like that show where people would play pranks, and it was like in some Asian dialect, and we would just make up our own subtitles.
Well, yeah. Tell me about. Okay, now when I say yoga, all right, I'm not talking about salutations, you know, where you do the dance. I like to think of it as kind of like a Muslim dance. You ever seen the Muslims do that prayer thing and they're doing this and they bow down? Kind of reminds me of like a yoga class where they do just salutations.
The sun salutations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what, when I say yoga, I'm talking about this.
Stretching.
Yeah. I'm not talking about Warrior One and the Warrior Two and the salutations and all that. I'm not talking about that. And I'm not talking about any of those Indian names. Kasana Hana, Ronda Donda Banda. You know, they got like an N and a D and everything.
Yeah.
Kohini.
Asana.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about like I'm not going to mention his name. But there's a very famous priest that he's been over here to my house a few times. Okay. When he comes over here, and you would know him, he's on TV all the time. But when he comes over, he just likes to chill out, maybe drink a beer. Because when I know he's coming, I'll buy his favorite beer. Mm-hmm. And he just likes to chill. It's his dog. He'll chill out.
That's his dog.
Talks with my hands. But anyhow, I just, you know, he was sitting on the couch in there in the den. And I said, "Father so-and-so, while I've got you here, I want to show you a couple of stretches that might help your back." Because he's a weightlifter. He's fit.
I know who this is.
Okay. I showed him downward facing dog and several other exercises, which he approved and said, "There's nothing wrong with that." Okay. And then I said, "Really?" I said, "That's the most popular yoga poses there are. And you just said there's nothing wrong with that." He said, "There's nothing wrong with it." And then he scrolled on TikTok or something and showed me the one pose that he's got problems with. But tell me, the complaint I get from a lot of my cat friends is you can't do the stretches without doing the poses.
There's a lot of logic that's flawed, in my opinion. So some people will say it's a Hindu religion or like Buddhism. And they might have a point. I don't really know if I would approach it from that angle. And speaking of like each individual pose, there's probably nothing wrong with stretching. There's nothing wrong with stretching. So like, for example, child's pose is a very common low back stretch. Downward dog is another one that's a stretch. That's not something that's so unique to just yoga.
Happy
baby.
I just did a happy baby. Did I invoke a deity?
It's just, I don't think you will provoke a deity by just doing that.
Well, you know, my grandson naturally does down dog about 30 times. He's just now walking, but he'll bend over and see that little butt up in the air in a perfect T like that. And I'll yell at Brian. I'll say, "Brian, hurry. Max is doing downward facing dog. He's going to get demon possessed." He gets so mad at me. But I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's really
Lou.
How old is he? Your grandson.
He just turned, how old is he? He's a year old.
But like,
happy baby. And he does that all the time on his own. You know, he's never taken yoga or anything, but he just gets in it. And I remember when I first started taking yoga classes, now I don't take yoga classes anymore. I don't go, but for years I did, for years. And, I've taught it a little bit in elementary school.
I like Yvonne's comment, "Don giving birth." I just saw that.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. But when I was doing my first yoga classes at the Y's where I started out, and I remember doing a lot of those same stretches when I was in the Marine and boot when I was in the Marine Corps in boot camp. Before we ran, and also in football practice. And I remember gawking at the cheerleaders and the dance team, and they were doing those same stretches. So you're saying there's nothing wrong with doing the stretches in themselves?
I don't think there is. Personally, that's just my opinion. I don't think there is. Maybe somebody who's smarter than me can dispute that. I don't know. But my personal opinion, as deep as I was into yoga, I don't think that individual stretches, for example, like the plank pose, obviously in the military, you're going to do plank and push-ups. Those aren't uniquely yoga poses. And most of the stuff in yoga is also not necessarily unique to yoga. Maybe some advanced moves might be. It's the sequencing. I think that's important to differentiate stretching and yoga, right? Like they are two different things, because if you were just going to go stretch, you'd say, hey, I'm just going to go do acrobatics and stretch, or I'm going to warm up and stretch. You don't say, oh, I'm going to do some yoga before we go for a run. And really all you're doing is touching your toes and right. maybe your legs and moving your arms a little bit. You're not actually doing any type of yoga sequencing.
Salutations.
The sun salutations. Well, that is one example of a yoga sequence. There can be other yoga sequences where you move in the flow. They call that like the vinyasa. You move in the flow from one pose to another pose. I think to yoga, especially in the West, where we are in the United States, I don't know where all your viewers are from. Yoga has gotten so watered down comparative to like its origin, that when people talk about, oh, well, its origins are going to get a demon, you're worshiping like another god. I don't know necessarily if you are or not, but I do think there is a problem there with not knowing what you're doing, right? Like, am I doing something wrong or am I not? It's kind of like if you wanted to go to your friend's house and suddenly your friend's dad starts talking about your dad and not in a positive way. Are you just going to stand there and agree with everything he says, or are you going to stand up for your dad? And in my opinion, when there's gray areas, we don't go to, okay, yeah, I'll just agree with everything he says about my dad, no matter how negative it is or whatever. No, you're going to stand up for your dad or your faith, right? Like God, the Father. And you're not going to dabble in these gray areas. In my opinion, I don't see the benefit in dabbling in gray areas. We can stretch, we can exercise and not call it yoga, because if it's, you're just stretching, it's not yoga. Mm-hmm. But there is a clear difference between stretching and yoga. I've spent thousands of dollars on trainings for yoga. I think, in my opinion, the real problem with modern yoga is that it teaches that we're going to find like this. Now, ancient yoga taught about enlightenment. You're going to feel enlightened after you do yoga. You're going to be at peace in your body and your soul. And there's these ancient roots to it. Now, in the West, I don't know if that's necessarily what people are pursuing when they go to yoga. And it's not structured the same way it was in the East, necessarily, depending, I guess, on where you practice. Like at the Y, certainly not. The Y is going to be a more modern version, a more Western version. But in my opinion, the problem is people are trying to go to yoga to find this peace, to whether they're trying to escape suffering and find this calm peacefulness about their lives. And we can find peace through exercise. Exercise obviously has a lot of benefits on our body, but nobody would say, okay, all I need to do is go for a walk and then I'll have all the peace in the world, right? It might make you feel better.
Now, I've talked there's a bishop, a famous bishop. I work for EWT and I drove for a lot of these people and asked him questions like I'm asking you. Just straight up ask him. I won't mention, but there's a very well-known bishop, and it was a Sunday morning, and I was driving him to the airport. I said, Bishop, can I ask you a question? Yes, you may, lowly servant, he said. I said, is there anything wrong with working out on Sundays, the Sabbath? Because, you know, some Catholics get bent out of shape if you're saying you're going to cut the grass or work out on Sunday. Some of them do. I said, do you think it's wrong to work out on Sunday, the Sabbath? And he said, well, he said, I'm an avid runner. And every Sunday morning he did like a 10 or 15 mile run before Mass. He said, it clears my mind. I pray. I'm full of endorphins when I go preach. I'm full of, you know, he said, I get euphoric. He said, I love it. I'm addicted to it. And he said, you run 7 days a week like that. So you think better?
The Sabbath is getting into like a different issue. personally, I like to go for walks on Sunday. I think a Sunday stroll is fine. I think that can be more, I shouldn't comment on that because I'm not probably the correct person to say what's right and wrong to do on a Sunday.
I just want to hear your opinion. I know that I could be completely wrong, you know.
I wouldn't personally do like a really hard workout, but I think like if you're trying to remain healthy, and I personally wouldn't find a problem with somebody trying to go for a light jog or walk or doing some sort of activity on Sunday. It's a day of rest, but I don't necessarily think that means you have to lay in bed all day. I think that means that you light things that you're normally doing to stay in shape. I personally don't see a problem with that.
Well,
go out and run.
Wait, Teresa says that she cannot separate the exercise from the spirituality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, the only spiritual thing I think, like if I do a downward facing dog or child pose, is I do pray, you know, like I'm before the throne of God, you know, surrender. Like, mm-hmm. I guess the way the Muslims, what they call Islam is surrender. And I'm not equating my Catholic faith with Islam, but to get down like that, I do feel like I'm surrendering before God. You know, I do feel like that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when we do meet our maker someday, what our position will be. We'll be standing up, probably.
A beggar laid out on the floor, like, you remember the lion on Wizard of Oz? Take off running.
Beast when they become becoming a priest. The word isn't coming to me, but when they lay down on the floor, yeah,
face down,
yeah,
all the way down. What? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say. So, in my opinion, I think people go to yoga for these in modern ways. They go to yoga to find this peace in their lives. But we know that obviously like true peace doesn't come from yoga. True peace comes from God. So are you really finding God when you go to yoga?
No.
The answer probably not. Right. And in my opinion, most of the people I know is, you know, this is a very general statement. It's not going to apply to every person, but the deeper and deeper I got into yoga, when I went to more trainings and retreats and the Catskills, it was very lofty. Right. And it was, I felt like people were not at peace. Like those of us who were really practicing it every day. And like, I just felt like people weren't at peace. And C.S. Lewis has a lot of quotes, and he says something about how, we're not at peace because we're made for God.
I agree with you. Listen, I got to move this router over.
Some of the comments.
That's stupid. You know what? I know a lot of people I know a lot of yoga teachers that are my friends.
Yeah.
And I was a bad influence because I came up with the idea of mixing yoga with alcohol. So I would bring some Tito's. I'd bring the Tito's and pour everybody some Tito's, and I'd bring boxes of wine for after the class. So I was going to feel good, but I wanted to get it. To me, just my opinion, going to a one-hour yoga class is the best head-to-toe workout I've ever done in my life of any exercise.
It does feel good, you know, especially if you really, like, it can feel very good, yeah, to stretch and... stretching is so good for your body and it's great for balance. So there's benefits, but you can get those benefits in other places. Pilates was invented by a man who I believe had rickets Joseph Pilates. He was in bed on his back most of the time. So he invented ways to exercise and move his body. And he uses a lot of those common plank and other types of exercises. I think Happy Baby is one that's commonly used in Pilates. And another thing to distinguish too is in yoga, they don't call Happy Baby, Happy Baby. It has a Sanskrit word to it.
Right.
And it doesn't directly translate to happy baby. So just saying happy baby isn't necessarily like a bad thing that some viewers might, who aren't familiar, might not know. But anyway, you know, he uses some of those more dominating poses, and the dominant pose, you know, like plank and the common poses, but to exercise and stretch and build muscle in a non-impact way. I think that that is a really good example of how you can work your body out and not make it spiritual, right? Because nobody goes to Pilates and says, "Woo, I'm so at peace and enlightened." You know, they go to Pilates to get a good workout, to feel good, to stretch, like you would go for a good jog or a walk. And so it is possible to work your body in those ways without that spiritual element, or feel like, hey, is this a gray area? Is this something like that might be not good for me and not good for my spirituality? Because it really, for me, ultimately came down to, no, the church doesn't have a direct teaching on this, which is unfortunate. And maybe that's because there's so many different types of what people call yoga out there, right? Like there's not one yoga. Even Catholicism has so many different rites, and it might be hard for the church to come out and say, yes, all of quote unquote yoga, you know, I'm just exploring why maybe there hasn't been.
Well, it's funny because Lisa, I'll be praying for your son, Dave. I've had two kids with brain cancer, and I know that's a living nightmare. We'll be praying for them. You know, in the class that I took, I live near a little bitty town in Alabama. Like, if you watch Mayberry, you know, the downtown where the sheriff's office is, the old-fashioned buildings, and it was a snow day, right? So I was walking my other dog on a snow day, and I got my wife to drop me off like 5 miles from my house. I got the dog out, and I said, I'm walking home through the blizzard. So is before it really started snowing. Well, anyhow, I was going through town and I saw a sign that said yoga. Mm-hmm. And the next place was the Body Shop. So I was into working out. So I had heard of yoga, but I didn't know what it was. All I thought was you twist your body up in these weird I didn't know anything about spiritual stuff. Okay. So I walked over there and I'm looking in the windows, and I finally found a phone number. And I called the lady and called her and called her. She never would answer me back. So I thought the place had gone out of business. But it said Saturday mornings. So a couple of Saturday mornings later, I knocked on the door wearing some gym shorts and a shirt. And this girl opened the door. She said, "You here for yoga?" I said, "Yeah." And went in there. She took me one-on-one through class. Now, she never did
Tadasana, and some of the words aren't coming to me. It's been a while since I've
She never did any of that stuff. Okay. Now, a couple years later, when I went to visit my son in San Francisco, by then I was a yoga addict. I mean, I had to take it 3 times a week or I had to have it. Now, I took a class there at the YMCA Redwood City in San Francisco. And the girl there, she did do all that la bam ba dam ba, shama ba bam ba ba, all that stuff. And I did not like it. And I was wearing this very necklace of Mary. It's called a Madonna. Not the singer, but it's just called Madonna. And I'm going to tell you something. This distracted her so bad that I was wearing this in that class. I mean, she was staring at it. I could tell it was bothering her that I was wearing this, a Mary necklace. And she ended up dying right after. She got to be a friend. But then we came home and I took a class once and we had a guest teacher. And he started in that with that La Bamba Shamba Humba Bamba stuff. And I just raised my hand and said, I'm not into this. Can we just say, downward facing or ragdoll, warrior one, warrior two. I'm not into the shambababab saying stuff. I don't know what it is. That's why I don't believe in praying in tongues. Because you don't know what the hell you're saying. To be honest with you, you don't know what you're saying. I was a Pentecostal for years. I didn't know what I was saying. And a lot of times I felt worse after I prayed than I did before I started. So, yeah. But how long have you been Catholic? Were you born Catholic? Are you a cradle?
I'm a cradle Catholic, and I don't know if that's a curse or a blessing sometimes, because I was, well, obviously it's a blessing to baptize your babies. So, but it seems nowadays that a lot of the cradle Catholics are the most lukewarm Catholics, the most lukewarm in the faith. Even when I was, so I never really fell away from the faith. I was always going to Mass. I always believed in God. I always upheld most, you know, the teachings of the church that I was taught. I believed and I upheld them. You know, I was always against abortion. I even had like a feminism phase for a while. And there's another quote I've heard in the past where it talks about, in order to truly believe in something, you have to begin by doubting it. And so I can talk about that later, where I started to maybe like stuff wasn't making sense and you have to find why it doesn't make sense. And that's each person's own personal responsibility to answer those questions. And not everybody is evangelized by, like a good feeling. Like you'll hear, especially Catholics in the South, will hear a Protestant say, oh, I was at church and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and it was the best experience. And if you don't have an experience like that, well, you don't have God at your church. And you'll hear people say things like that. And not everybody is evangelized by this feeling, or it really, for me, the faith really had to make sense. And so I don't know if I was quote unquote lukewarm. Maybe I was. So in my opinion, a lukewarm Catholic is somebody, and I probably was, because I was going to Mass, but I thought I was a great Catholic, right? Like I was going to Mass every week, confession, meeting all these minimum requirements, right? Like confession, I believe confession requirements once a year, and you have to make, or it might be twice a year, and then you have to make your first communion during the Easter season. Or a communion during the Easter season. And I was meeting all these things, and a lot of the Catholics around me weren't even doing that, right? So I thought I was this great Catholic, right? You know, obviously I'm doing more than most of the people I know. I went to Catholic school, kindergarten through 12th grade. I know a lot of Catholics. And it is a blessing to be baptized as a baby, because that sacramental grace always stays with you. I baptize my babies. I baptized my fourth. I have four kids. The oldest is five. Number four was baptized when he was a week old. And because that's why I believe in the real salvific power of baptism. I don't believe that it's just a symbol, that it's like this rite of passage or this custom in our, you know, culture. I believe that it is true, real, and a real powerful thing. And it stays with you your whole life. And that's how we receive those graces from God. And by the grace of God, I was baptized as an infant. And, so that never leaves you. And for me personally, when I got to be probably like after I left high school and I got into college, you know, nobody was holding me as accountable as I was before, you know, when I was home, my mom, so I grew up in a household. My dad was a non-practicing Lutheran, and my mom was very devout Catholic. My mom took us to church every week by herself, basically. And my dad, you know, my dad was a good disciplinarian. We'd better be in that pew with my mom on Sunday. You know, he really backed her on that, which is good. And he ended up converting later. He converted about 10 years ago, and which is awesome. I was his sponsor, which was like a real grace in my life too. It was one of the best days of my life to see someone that you really have hoped would become Catholic for so long. So, you know, that was a real grace in my life, but, at the time too. And that was, I was teaching yoga when that happened and still going to confession. And now, you know, going to confession more often, at least once a month, more often than that, most times, you get those sacramental graces more often, it really makes a big difference in the peace in my life. You know, I'm like you, John. I say things that are controversial on the internet. I tell people what's on my mind. And that's something I really like about you. And my dad's a lot that way. What you see is what you get. And a lot of Southerners are that way. You know, don't church it up. This is how it is, you know. And online, you know, people come back at us and come back at us. And just today I had somebody coming at me and telling me, oh, you're some hypocrite Christian. And every time I hear that, oh, you know, people who never met you. But it's hard to, you know, it's not hard to hear every time, but it's kind of like every time I hear somebody say, oh, what a hypocrite Christian. It's like, I know where that came from. That didn't come from God. That came from
the accuser.
The accuser, right. So, mm-hmm. And that's one of the more common, I feel like I have a file folder of like, these are the real common attacks, like hypocrite Christian. This is why people aren't Christians, because people like you. I don't know if you've ever heard that one before. I get that one sometimes. If you weren't so judgmental, the church, you know, people would come back to the church, things like that. Those to me, when I hear those like standard accusations, it's from the accuser. So basically I started praying, to God to help me help me in my faith. I knew that something wasn't full. You know, I would go to church and my neighbors are all walking out right now. I'm on the front porch, but it was,
all them up.
It was good to go to Mass. I mean, it's good to go to Mass and go to the sacraments. Even if you don't have the feeling behind it, there's a level of obedience and responsibility we still have. Just because someone says, oh, I go to church, but I don't feel anything. Well, you know, we also get periods of dryness, and God allows that because that shows, you know, it shows your proof of your love for God. Because if you were, if you wanted to go to the major leagues to play baseball, do you think that they would keep you in AAA ball, or do you think they'd move you up and get you to the next level? Right. So we go through these tests of dryness and, of different tests that God gives us to make us stronger in our faith. So basically I started like being more aware that something wasn't right, like with my faith or what I was doing. And, my cousin, he's technically my mother's cousin, but he's more of my generation just because my mom's from a big Catholic family. So she's the oldest. He is one of the youngers. And he ends up being more my age generationally. And he started talking to me about yoga. Hey, like, I don't know if you really should be doing this. And I really, even though I get a lot of criticism online, you know, I do try to think about things critically and say, well, does he have a point? You know, this is the first time anybody's ever said this in a way. And it really got me thinking, maybe this isn't good for me. And I view him as a very holy man. And, you know, if he says there's a problem with it, like it probably is. Anyway, I just started meeting more people who got me thinking about yoga. And there were people in my life, who had been living the faith and had been living the faith my entire life. And they had been pointing out problems with yoga. And so I looked at them and, you know, I kind of also wanted what they had, right? Like they had this confidence in faith that I didn't have. Not to say that I didn't believe. I did believe. I always like had a relationship with God and Mary and loved the Lord. But they had this peace about their faith that I wanted. And so I started thinking, well, if this is what they think, then maybe there's something to it. Maybe they're right. So I started looking into it and I decided to take a step back. So I kind of did, I didn't like write it off all the way right away. I ended up moving cities. I went down to Miami for work for a few years and I decided not to start as a yoga teacher when I moved down there. So I had another full-time job and I taught yoga on the side. So I went down there in Miami.
I like going, Miami. I got a lot of good memories from that place.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Surprises me. I'm definitely more of a North Florida girl. That's where I'm at. I'm in Gainesville. I'm not far from you. And I went to Florida.
Tallahassee. A beautiful. I think that's the prettiest school I've ever been to.
Florida State.
University of Florida in Gainesville.
Ah.
Gorgeous school.
Oh.
I've been to Florida State. I've been to Miami. The Miami. Florida State. And Florida. But Gainesville. Man, that is a beautiful campus. I like Florida State, you know, I like Miami, okay, but I would say that Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, and Florida and Gainesville probably the best three campuses I've been to, and the butt ugliest has got to be BYU. The most butt ugly campus. It's in a beautiful place, but it's ugly as hell. It's like some government installation from the 40s. I don't like it.
Yeah, I've never been there. I've never been to Utah, period.
Now, that's the place to go and get a vibe.
Well, I hear there's like a lot of opposing, like Mormons versus like more progressive culture there.
Yeah. Something you
said. My husband went to Florida, and he's probably, if he's watching this, I'm sure he's going to see it at some point.
Creepin' Larry.
He's Blake. Creepin' Blake.
Oh, okay. There's two of them. Okay. You know what? Going back to something you said about being a cradle. Okay, now I, born and raised Protestant, 50 straight years without straying, the Protestant church.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of Catholics on fire about Catholics complain about cultural Catholics. People like Biden or some of these Hollywood people, they're Catholic. They say they're Catholic. And they ain't said a prayer from their heart in eons. You know, they believe, you know, here's what I'm saying. Growing up Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian all my life, like it's like I went to those three churches. It's the same way. It's the same way. You only have a small sliver of the pie that are fanatics. They're doing dotting all the I's, crossing the T's, going to church every Sunday, tithing, reading the Bible, praying, witnessing, trying to stay out of trouble. That's this many of the Protestant world. They're as uncatechized as we are. Worse. You know why? We have one catechism. Okay? We have the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, and that pretty much sums most of it up. They're all over the place. Just the Baptist Church has 60 different conflicting sub-denominations. They don't agree about anything. And there's only a fraction of each one of those Protestant churches where you have really on fire people that are just going to church every time the doors are open, not socially, but because they can't get enough of it. So I think it's neat that you're a cradle Catholic and your story that, you know, you continue to participate in the sacraments, even though you may not have been, you know, Saint Teresa, the little flower all the time, but I think
the lack of depth of understanding. So it's hard to compare it to some of the Protestant faiths because they don't have the depth that Catholicism has. Mm-hmm. And even some of the closer Protestant faiths like Lutherans, they still don't have the depth that we have.
The Catholic faith is like deep as the Pacific Ocean.
It is.
With caves.
Yeah. You'll never touch them.
Right. As Southern Baptists, I hate to say this, man, but you can grow up in a Southern Baptist church. And, you know, once you get to junior high, I remember having these thoughts. Is this all there is? Because it was the same. There was nothing else beyond, once you got past Jesus being in your heart, then all you did is attack every other church, every other religion, or talk about the rapture. It's not even in the Bible, even though we said we only believed in the Bible, we really believed in that rapture. And the word ain't even in the Bible, but we were real. That was about the only exciting thing we had going. That's why the non-denominational church has taken off, is because they offer more, like a coffee bar and faux hawk haircuts for the worship team, and the, you know, it's got the.
It's so sad when I see a Catholic go non-denominational. I mean, it makes me see a Catholic fall away at all. But it definitely is like going to something that's that has it all, and then we leave it for something that's surface, maybe.
You know, Father John Paul on EWTN?
I think so. I know the priest.
Bald head, and he's real articulate.
Does he have some white hair?
No, he's bald as a tennis ball. I mean, he's just a scalp. He's on TV every day. But he told me that Catholic take the off ramp, the exit to the non-denominational church. He said, you know what their next stop is? I said, yes, I do. He said, atheism.
Yeah, I believe that 100%.
They've left the great, great kingdom of God to go to a sideshow that's about this deep, this heretical.
It's flashy. But it's very temporary. And part of the problem in my opinion is you have all these Catholics. Like I said, I went to grade school. I went to high school, Catholic school all the way through. And I would say about less than 5% of the kids I graduated with actually, you know, still go to church, got married in the church, or having babies, baptizing their babies. I would say less than 5%, maybe even less than 1% of the kids I grew up with and graduated. And there's something missing there. And I think even I knew something was missing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's the Catholic school's fault. My mom did a really good job at catechizing me. I had a more Catholic parent than most kids probably had. You can only do so much if you only know so much. If their parents don't know so much, you can't teach something you don't know. My mom, is actually not from the South. She grew up, in Illinois in a very Catholic town. I think when she was growing up, it was probably upwards of 95% Catholic, Catholic churches on every corner. And it's beautiful Catholic tradition there. When I go there, the churches are beautiful. They're so much better than what we have in Florida. Florida, I mean, it's slim pickings for a nice church. As far as when you walk in, it's beautiful. It's traditional. It looks the way it's supposed to. The art is pretty. You know, you go into some of these Catholic churches, the art isn't even beautiful. And again, that's a method of evangelization. You know, when you walk into a church, it's supposed to be like seeing a bride on her wedding day.
Yeah, it's supposed to take your breath away. You look, make you think about God. That's
all. Yes. Going to these churches, and it's like, this is like coming out of stucco's 1965 prison. It's like, this is not inspiring. And fortunately, some of those churches have been redone. You know, when I was growing up, it wasn't like that. They were still, you know, not uninspiring churches in Florida. I mean, it's because most of them were built in the 50s and 60s when people came down after air conditioning was invented.
Yeah.
But she came down to the South. That was kind of a realization for her that not everybody is Catholic. And she had to do some deep dives into, well, what do I believe? And why are all these people, you know, she had people telling her she was a Catholic. She was definitely going to hell, you know? She's like, what? Nobody's ever told me that before. And she had to figure it out. And fortunately, I had a mom who figured it out. She didn't just say, oh, well, you know, Baptist Sally is right. You know, she didn't just believe it. She actually did the research, figured it out on her own. So she passed a lot of that to me. And I will say I have a spirit of, I want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't want to believe in Santa Claus because people tell me to believe in Santa Claus. And there are people who equate God to that, like that we just believe in God because it was passed down to us. And it's not the case. Especially, as a cradle, we still go through those doubts and we still go through, we have to buy in. We can't just say, okay, well, la-di-da, I'm an idiot. I'm just going to go along with whatever people tell me to go along with. Down is up and up is down. No, we have to figure it out for ourselves too. And, like I said, I have a good friend, her name is Lena. She really inspired me with her witness to the Catholic faith. She was very strong in her faith. And Layla Miller online also. You've heard of Layla Miller. I think that's how we've been friends on Facebook for how long? Like 8 to 10 years probably.
Yeah, a long time. Tag, is she on Instagram?
Layla Miller. She's Layla Junebug on Instagram.
See, I'm not on Facebook. Or if I'm on there, I haven't logged on since last year briefly. I don't do Facebag. I hate Facebook. Now, I have a Catholic for Rednecks there with about 30,000 subscribers. And every now and then something will slip through Instagram and get posted there. But could you send me a text later of her Instagram? I'll go look her up. Because, you know, it's a lot of people, you don't, you know their name, and then you know someone by a screen name, like that one Catholic girl. Her name's Vanessa. Nobody knows her name is Vanessa, but she's a little half Hispanic girl.
I don't know if I know.
Oh. You'll know her face.
Okay.
Or it's like religious hippie. I don't know what the hell her name is.
No, I didn't know her name was Vanessa. That's funny.
That's a different one. That's
Vanessa. Religious hippie. I know who she is. She's got.
Okay. Well, like, there's a lot of people. I don't know. They're like this Claire girl here that just signed on going, hi-ye. Yeah, you know, she's one of those Oregon West Coast was a fashion model in Hollywood and all that. And she was raised woke.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she was raised woke. But I just think, you know, something I just want to tell Fredo, there's so many people that are mad because people go through RCIA and don't come back and think that's a reflection on the Catholic Church. That's every freaking church and denomination in this world. I know because I worked in it for 50 years and you'd have all these teenagers, 70 of them in the youth group on fire for God, crying and slinging snot, doing revival and praise reports and retreats. And when college started, bye-bye. You didn't see them guys again until they were 30 years old and had two kids. Then they wanted to come back to church now that they had a family. And I just think that, I'm not talking about you, but I think a lot of people get mad about people leaving the Catholic Church because they're not properly catechized. I think it's just human nature, unless you're a fanatic.
You know, they're... some truth to that too. Like you're saying, it's just, we go through highs and lows in our faith. But I do think that once you truly buy in, if you will, it is hard to go through the lows, but obviously we're not perfect. We can fall, you know. I do think that it's a great thing when somebody comes back. You know, if I know somebody who got married outside the church, but then they want to baptize their baby, I love that.
Yeah.
I want them to baptize their baby, come back, you know, definitely raise your kids. Like I said, get them that sacramental grace because that's important. I want to see that. And that's one of, when I see people falling away, that is actually one of my primary concerns is that they're not baptizing their children in the faith.
Yeah.
Because they had the benefit of being baptized. All my, you know, these kids I grew up with, they had the benefit of being baptized Catholic. And they have the sacramental grace. They have the washing away of original sin, but they haven't imparted that on their children.
Yeah.
And that is deeply concerning.
That's pathetic. Really pathetic. I'm a firm believer that the church starts at home. You know, faith starts at home, you know.
It has to be. And we are one generation. This is like a meme, I think, that went viral a few years ago, but it was like, you're one generation away from losing the faith. Because if it's not important to me, do you think it's going to be important to my kids? No. And if it's not important to my kids, do you think that they're going to just do it for the grandkids? No, they're not going to. So, you know, I was talking about my friend Lena. She was very firm in her beliefs. That was a huge evangelization for me to meet someone who outside of my family, who was like, this is black and white. There's no gray here. You are either a Catholic or you're not. And, you know, you said Joe Biden's a cultural Catholic. Excuse me. Got to get a little bit of a drink here.
Yeah, that bourbon goes down strong, don't it? Gotta buy. So
the cultural Catholic to me, and you know, just black and white. He might be baptized, but he's not a practicing Catholic.
I agree. I hate to judge him, but he's the president. Okay, he is a public figure.
Not
this black thing.
And we have to have this method of saying things are black and white. And in our society today, modern culture and the accuser really gets us confused about being black and white. They want us to think things are gray. And in the Catholic faith, there's really not a lot of gray. There's not gray. It's either black or white. So marrying my husband was a huge evangelization for me too, to be loved in such a way that my husband loves me. I love being married. That was another thing my friend Lena said all the time, was she always tells people, congratulations, marriage is the best, because you really don't hear that when you're engaged. You know what people tell you when you're engaged? Don't do it. Don't go through with it. Oh, okay. You'll never have sex for the rest of your life. That's what they say to people. Like when you're engaged,
it's true. That's true. Go ahead, Jerry. I'm messing with you.
But that's what they say to people. It's terrible. There's none of this like joy and encouragement. And you know, that's what the saints were full of joy. They were full of, they had suffering. It wasn't perfect, but they had this peace and joy in the midst of all of the imperfections, because we are flawed at our core because of the fall. We can't do anything about that except go and get the sacraments and fall again, go and get the sacraments and fall again. And you know, when you hear, like I said, those comments on Facebook, when I hear those, it's like when people say, well, you're a hypocrite. Well, to some extent, yeah, duh, I am a hypocrite. I'm a wretched sinner just like you. I'm going to fall and I'm going to go to confession and pick it back up and get better and get my medicine from the Lord. I'm not going to, you know, or you've made past mistakes and people be like, oh, I remember you when you were a feminist, you know? And it's like, yeah, I'm still a wretched sinner now, but it's okay to correct your ways and move on. You don't have to stay that way because you once were that way. You know, people learn and move and grow. And, you know, being married has been a huge evangelization for me, to give me a meaning, a cause to suffer for, you know, and that was something that feminism was extremely lacking. Feminism. Have you ever met a really fulfilled feminist? Someone who's truly full of joy?
The only one that I really, really know is mad as F at men. That's the bottom line. No, I know two of them. They're mad. They hate men. That's the number one thing I can tell you about them. And all they do is hate on men in their Facebook posts or Instagram posts. They talk about how sorry men are and wonder why they're single.
And, you know, part of that is because they also probably haven't been loved correctly. That's probably part of it. You know, there's nothing that marriage fixes that. You know, when you have a husband or a wife who loves you correctly, you're not going to be bitter at men. That's just not, that's not going to be in the vocabulary. So, you know, all these little things like meeting people who I felt like, okay, this person is there, or they're at least on their way there, and I want what they have. And then meeting my husband, and we did go to Rome and get the papal blessing, which, I know some people have varying opinions on the Pope, but no matter who the Pope is, the papal blessing is good as gold, no matter who it is.
That's right. Hey, we got a priest with us now. Hey, Father John Brown, we'll behave now. Put your bourbon up, Gary. Oh, now she's drinking out of the can.
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
Okay. So what's your favorite thing? You just got my mind thinking about stuff, and I don't want to keep asking about it. But what you just said about the black and whiteness, you got all these. A lot of my Catholic friends are afraid to stick by the faith. They want to compromise with their non-Catholic friends. You know, I can't even pray with the people. It's not compatible. I mean, really, you think we're both Christians and you hate my mother and you hate all this. I just can't handle it. And when I run across a Catholic that's real, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not watching that because I am Catholic. It is a testimony, like your friend Lena. Mm-hmm. That's what it does for somebody's.
Right. And it's also about pointing out these truths, because the culture tries to get us confused and lies about basic truths about how men aren't a certain way or women aren't a certain way, and marriage isn't valuable, all these things. But there's clear answers to this, and God has laid it out. So if you believe in God, and Layla Miller talks about this, I wanted to mention Layla because she's another really good person as far as like being as crystal clear about what, and not mincing the truth. So not saying, like you're saying, compromising. I'm not saying, well, if you can feel good inside and still commit this sin. No, that's not how it works. And Layla Miller is great about saying that's not how the faith works. And that to me was the most, that was a great evangelization for me, because it was so credible. It was so consistent and credible, and a voice among all of these little insecurities, right? Oh, you can't say that, or you can't hurt their feelings, or you can't be that. So I will say, I do strive as a person to not compromise, even though I might fall at that sometimes. I really do try to be black and white as much as possible, even though obviously people don't, you're going to step on toes. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Layla Miller had written something, and I remember this being pretty pivotal too in my faith journey, was she wrote about, I'm having like a little bit of a mental block, but she wrote about, it was Easter morning, and she wrote about if you believed that, oh, the bourbon, yeah, woo, if you believe that truly died and rose, then you can't remain lukewarm. It's not moderately important. It's either extremely important and it should be your whole life's goal, or it's false and it should be tossed away, right? So if Jesus didn't die, then we toss it out the window. But if he did die and rise, then it deserves everyone's full attention. And that to me was like, okay, that was a wake up call for me. Does this religion have my full attention? Or am I just kind of like, oh, as long as it fits, I'll do it. I'll meet the bare minimum, but I'm not going to do anything more than that. Or why should I do more than that? This is all God requires of me. And Catholics too, we have the biggest restrictions for these Christian branches. I felt like I'm doing more than everybody else, right? If I'm going to church every Sunday, I'm going through the motions, doing more than everybody else. But it's really not. When you die and go to heaven, do you think God's going to say, did you do more than Jerry did? Or Jerry, did you do more than John did? No. You get judged on your own. What did you do? And reading the saints too has been pivotal, because I don't know if you have any saints that you've read or books by saints. There's so many good works. Francis de Sales has amazing works. I really like, if you love Mary, I love Mary. I've always had a special devotion to Mary. Louis de Montfort has some good writings on Mary and our Marianology. And when we read those things, it's like you said about the Pacific Ocean. It's so deep. It's like, it's almost like I can't even read a page and not sit down and just think about that page I read, because it's that deep.
That's what it was the first time I read the big catechism.
Mm-hmm.
Read like a little, you know, it's in those paragraphs, sections. I literally had to read it over and over like three times because it's real. It's real cerebral. It's not for dummies. I mean, some smart, really smart people that love God wrote that. Was John Paul II. He had Benedict, I think. Benedict wrote it. Is what I've researched. I could be wrong, but Benedict wrote it. And it is deep. I remember my catechist, he's a deacon now, Deacon Field. he told us that you could, it would take a very intelligent man two lifetimes to get his feet wet in the Catholic Church. Two whole lifetimes. Still wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I love it. And it's truly, our faith is truly something I learn every single day. I learn something. Now, I haven't put it together where I'm living all that new truth every day. I mean, I saw a thing on Twitter, and this guy, I put it on my Instagram, I shared it. A guy on Twitter said, do you think that all these content creators and Catholic YouTubers should have a disclaimer that they are not the authority of the church? You know? And I go ahead and say it right now, you know, I live about 1% of what I know. I mean, and I'm learning something new to add on top of every day. But I learn from you. You know, I really do. And I try to learn. When I was a policeman, I used to love to work with people that had been there 30 years. And I used to especially love to work with rookies that were on their third shift, because they saw things I didn't see, and the old timers knew things I didn't know. And so I love talking to cradle Catholics like you and hear things. I get a lot out of it. I just, you know, wish that some cradle Catholics would be easier on themselves, because a lot of them text me and say, I would love to be on your YouTube show, but I don't have anything to bring. And I'm saying, yes, you do.
That was my first thought. I was like, cradle Catholic. I don't have an interesting story. There was no, like, I didn't have a vision or anything, you know. It's, but God evangelizes us in the way we need to believe too. We just have to be participatory in it. We have to want to see it. We have to be okay with acknowledging our weaknesses and our flaws, that, you know, maybe what I'm doing and teaching yoga, maybe that's not what's best for me. Maybe that's not what's best for the people.
Would you just decide to quit teaching?
When I went to Miami, I just decided to take a step back from it and reevaluate things. And at the time, I was actually going into the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for a whole 8 days. And eight? Yes. Yes, what, sir.
Blowing I got pregnant.
Okay. We were married, but I knew I was pregnant. I got pregnant right before I went to officer training school in Montgomery, right by you. And went to officer training school for 8 days. It was the coldest winter, I believe, that Montgomery had in years. It was 2017. There was snow on the ground in Montgomery. We were standing out at attention outside. I was so nauseous and my knuckles were bleeding because they had us standing outside at the mess hall for, I don't even know. I just know I prayed a lot of rosaries while I was standing outside the mess hall, and it was so cold and windy. My knuckles started to bleed, 'cause I'm an old Florida girl. I had never even like seen snow at that point.
Yeah.
Like I'd never been somewhere where it snowed. Yeah. In the winter time anyway, I'd traveled other places, but it was always in the summer. And yeah, so just another thing I wanted to say was, getting married was part of a real revitalized, like our faith was really revitalized. I don't say my husband and my faith were both, because I know that he was not like what we would say, like maybe on fire. And I don't know if we're necessarily on fire. There's probably people who are so much more well-learned and more on fire than we are, but we're trying, and we're trying a lot harder than we were back then. And when we took pre-Cana, my friend Lena, at the time we knew each other and our families were friends, but Lena and I weren't as close as we are now. And she taught the pre-Cana with another couple, Heidi and her husband, and I know Heidi and her husband now. We go to the same church, actually, but they taught the pre-Cana, and it was thebomb.com. It was like the most direct truth, black and white. This is what men are made for. This is what women are made for. This is what your husband needs from you. This is what the church teaches on marriage. it was everything that I knew as a cradle Catholic in my heart, but nobody ever said it out loud. Nobody ever said, don't get divorced. This is how you don't get divorced. Nobody ever said, don't take birth control. Nobody ever says that out loud anymore. It is rare when people say, don't take birth control. Don't practice IVF. Don't do XYZ. And their pre-Cana laid it out. No apologies. And it really spoke to my soul because it was like, they said the quiet part out loud. And I really, as a Catholic now, I really try to do that. If anybody follows me on my social media, they'll realize like, I really don't try to mince words or beat around the bush. I really try to be black and white. That really was a very big inspiration in my faith journey. And now I go to their same church. We switch churches, actually. We don't go to church here in Gainesville. We did. And then during 2020, there were a lot of restrictions in Gainesville. And my daughter was born in March of 2020. And we followed a lot of the precautions. And I don't want to probably get into this too much. But my husband and I realized after a few months, this isn't adding up. Something's not right here. And I wanted to go to church and receive the Eucharist. I wanted to go and not have to sit 6 feet apart from everybody. And I wanted to go and not wear a mask. And my daughter had never had a normal life. And we went down to Ocala to a church down there that had the traditional Latin Mass. And we had not been open to visiting the Latin Mass. Everything I'd ever heard about the Latin Mass up to that point was pretty negative. Actually, I heard that it was really boring. The priest doesn't face the people, so it's like he's not even talking to you. And actually, that's like my favorite part now. I love that the priest isn't looking at us because it's kind of a mystery of like, what's he doing? What's going on? The prayers, there's more prayers in the Latin Mass. It's not the same. Like, you can't just go from a Novus Ordo Mass, like a regular modern Mass, to a Latin Mass and have it be like directly translated. The prayers are longer in the Latin Mass, so the structure is slightly different. And going to the Latin Mass and having that confession offered beforehand was so much more fruitful for my soul. I found myself going to confession so much more often that I found myself, this is a really good example. I used to say the Lord's name in vain. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
About GD? Truly,
yeah. Or just saying that. Right? I mean, I say, OMG, I mean, oh my gosh, but obviously the other word. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And, you know, actually a lot of Protestants don't say that. So there are things that some Protestants, they do get better than a lot of some of the good Catholics, right? And I still said it and I started becoming more realized that the people I was hanging out with didn't say it. And I became like a little bit more self-conscious of it because nobody I was around was saying it, I became aware of it. That's probably the Holy Spirit, right? And going to confession over and over. And I got to thinking about it actually, and it's become more of a pain point for me. Every time I hear somebody say that word now in vain, it's almost like somebody's flicking me in the eye. Like it like almost physically is like a visceral reaction when somebody said it. Like, so cringy. And not in like a judgmental way, but almost like a, like somebody's insulting a parent way, you know, you don't want anybody to say anything bad about your mother or father. And that's how it feels when somebody's saying that in public or in any type of, especially someone who doesn't even believe in God says it, you know, yeah. They use it in vain. That to me is like, it's so hard for me to keep a straight face, right. But we obviously know that through the Ten Commandments, it's wrong. And then we know that in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name. And somebody recently I was reading, I think it was a saint that I was reading. And they were saying how the only people that use the Lord's name in vain are the demons in hell. And I was like, whoa, like whose side are you on if you're saying that? And I, like I said, I was saying that all the time. And I just thought, okay, this is a big deal.
Can't picture you saying it. Sorry. Just can't. Bet you do, and I care. But yeah, I'll say that word when I'm extremely, extremely pissed. Yeah. I say it, but
you go to I know that we're going to have slip ups, but then obviously we can go get our medicine.
Yeah, I go to, we have confession during Mass at our church. It's before and during.
That's nice.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, you have to stand. We have very long lines at confession, very long. And I would say most people are your age and younger. I'm 61. There's three people my age in line. And we have very long, sometimes triple lines. Sometimes you don't get through in time to take communion. You know, then you're like, man, I'm all cleaned up, ready for communion. Now I got to go another week and I'll screw up and have to get back in the line. So the whole thing with me is getting in line soon enough. Cause you know, we got a priest there that he does a lot of encouraging and rebuking in that box. So you go in there and say, you know, I drank too much. You're going to be there 10 minutes. Not you. I mean, you're not going to be talking, but he's going to be preaching to you, you know? So he likes to get on you. Like if you take communion without going to confession first, well, that's just, he's going to dog you out for 10 minutes on that one. See, she barked about it. Did you hear that? We won't do that no more, girl.
She's got the power.
Yeah.
that's something that is just, in my opinion, just not preached on enough these days, going to confession before going to communion. How many people, I was just at Mass on Sunday and I went to Gainesville, this one time because my kids were sick. So my husband went down to Ocala to the Latin Mass and then he came home and then I went to Mass here locally in Gainesville. And, you know, seeing people walking up in mini skirts going to receive communion is like, what are we doing here, girls? You know, hard. It's hard because like it's like seeing desecration happening in front of your eyes. Like you're saying about your priest is, you know, it's like a physical reaction when you see somebody not treat something that's so holy as a holy thing.
Let me tell you something. I shouldn't have said it because I don't think it's my place to say it. But a couple of weeks ago, went to Good Friday. I hate to call it Mass because it's the one time of year we don't have a Mass. But I went to the Good Friday service. And we had multiple confession lines going. And I was in the one at the front of the church. And my priest was in that booth. Yvonne, no, Father Bean, look, if you ever mess up and find yourself in an orgy and then robbing a bank afterwards, I mean, just totally screwing your life up, go to Father Bean for confession or to Father Joe for confession, because they're the best ones to go to if you're messed up, okay? Don't go to don't go where I go. You'll get grilled. But
rebuke is good for the soul too. But you do have to be in a position to receive it as well. Not all rebuke can be fruitful if it's not in the correct context. I'm in a place now where I feel like you can give me a lot of rebuke because I want that brutal honesty. I'm open to it, but you do have to be open to it.
I want to be pampered and I want to have my headed. You're okay, John. You're trying. Now, Bishop Foley, I was his last confession line. He died. There's like four people in line with me. And after confession, the next day he died. But he's the one that locked horns with Mother Angelica all the time. They got in a war while she was doing her thing at EWTN. And he was in charge of the diocese. They didn't get along and all. But he was great to go to confession because he would always say, that's nothing. That's nothing. He, as you were naming sin, that's okay, you're forgiven. And then he would do his thing. Then he would always say, pray for me. When you would leave the booth, hey,
yes,
pray for me. And on his tombstone, he's buried at my church. That's what it says. Pray for me on the tombstone.
That's great. And how blessed to be buried at a church. My husband and I hope that someday we'll be buried in a place where people will pray for our souls, because, you know, going to purgatory and having no one to pray for you, or people think you're in heaven and you're not, is like, yeah. Not everybody goes straight there. And most of us probably aren't.
My oldest son is buried at my church. And my mother died 2 weeks ago. She's buried right next to him at the church. And it is comforting to know that every time I go to Mass, they're there, body and soul.
Your daughter is there? Is that what you said?
Oh, my daughter's buried. My mother-in-law and my oldest son are buried together. My daughter's buried at the regular cemetery. So,
okay. You
know, when she goes to Mass, she has to go spiritually. But my son's stuck there behind the sacristy. He'll be there forever, you know. And but his type, he was more like you were. You know, he went to Mass because he had to go to Mass. You know, it was a thing. I mean, once he got there, he was good. But, you know, I guess watch a football game, you know. Without priest like Father, falling into despair. Father Bean's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to have a good penitent too that you can go to. Oh, Jason Halstead said, shout out to Father Mike. Father Mike was at our parish. That's Lena's husband, is Jason.
Okay.
And he said, shout out to Father Mike. Father Mike was a priest. He just passed away also recently. But when you would go to him for confession, it reminded me when you said, that's nothing, that's nothing. I remember one time I went to confession with Father Mike, and he said, I walked in and I like to go behind the screen now, the more traditional way. And, but I was taught to go face to face when I made my first communion. And so I used to go face to face. And when I walked in, he looked at me and he said, did you pay the incorrect fare on the bus? And I was like, Father, you know, I grew up, you know, in the country. I'm like, we don't even have a bus system. I'm like, I don't take the bus. He's like, did you kick the cat? And I was like, no, Father, I don't even have a cat. And he's like, well, you are too good to have sinned. Go in peace, my child. You know, that was like going to confession with Father Mike. But now I definitely need more of the rebuke. You can do better.
Have you ever been cut off in confession?
Like in line or while you're talking?
Cut off. Like you're in the middle of your confession. The priest says, pump the brakes. You're done. Do your contrition.
Yes.
I have too. And I've known some females. I got female friends that when they start getting into particulars, the priest will say, you're done with your confession. Pick out your, but Father, you're done. I'm going to absolve you. Do your thing. Now, one time I was in confession not too long ago, and I was with the priest, and somebody knocked on the door, his door of the booth. And opened it and started talking to him. It was a female. Something was going on. They needed the priest to know something before Mass started. And then he said, excuse, and I know he knew who I was. I have a distinctive voice. And he told me he'd be back.
No.
He left the booth, left me sitting there in the booth. And then one time I was in the middle of my confession and they slid the door open, the screen. And he handed me a card that said something like, God loves you. And he was like, get out. I'm in a hurry. And then a couple weeks ago, there was like 18 people behind me in like 5 minutes till Mass started. So I felt like the kid on Christmas Story. You remember when we went to see Santa Claus? And Santa Claus is trying to get rid of him. So he gets his boot and pushes the kid down the slide. Do you remember that scene? That's what he did. I went in there and accidentally sat face to face because I scooted over too far, and I got in my confession. He was like this for me, and he said, okay, in midstream handed me one of them contrition cards. But it's fine with me.
Confession by heart? You do now.
What?
Do you know the act of contrition by heart?
No, I don't know the Hail Mary, Queen of Heaven by heart. I don't know the Gloria by heart. I don't know the Ad Contrition. I started doing the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, as my contrition.
And that's a great one.
Hey, they don't know what to say when you say that. It always gives them a hiccup.
Then the priest?
Yeah, every time. Try it. Try it next time you go, and I promise you they'll go, oh, that's a good one.
That is a good prayer. It's a good prayer to say, like, just throughout the day. Especially, you know, if you catch yourself making, especially like a venial sin. When you walk into church and bless yourself with holy water, you're washing away your venial sins. So we don't necessarily have to go to confession for venial sin, but it is good to go and get the sacramental grace. I forget what I was going to say. Oh, have mercy on me, a sinner, in the act of contrition. Nowadays, when I hear somebody use the Lord's name in vain, I try to say the act of contrition on their behalf. Well, but it's hard, you know, if they're talking to you and you're saying something else in your brain.
I teach a lot of kindergarten and first and second graders, and the phrase, oh my God, it's every one of them do that. And my granddaughter has been doing it. And Brian calls her, he says, hey, don't be a blasphemer. Say, oh my gosh, or gosh, don't say that. But
we tell her, oh my goodness, because it's so much different than gosh. Gosh is fine, but with kids, you really want to know that there's not saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that school, man, they're so impressionable. Not to mention they hear the parents and they hear the TV, they hear other teachers talking. And it's just like in real estate, you know, I work real estate too. And a lot, most real estate people I work with is a female your age, probably, or younger. I'm not sure how old you are,
but like 35.
A lot of them are in their 20s. And it does not bother them one bit to say the F bomb in a text, a business text, or person to person. 23-year-old girls, well, F-bomb. They don't bat an eye. And I'm like, man, I was scared to say,
damn. You're clutching your pearls.
Huh?
You're clutching your pearls.
It's just, I would never talk like that in front of one of my elders when I was that age. I didn't even know if they ever knew what the word was themselves. You know, I never heard people talk like that. But
they see you as one of their 20-year-old girlfriends.
Shoot, man, those girls, I'll be in there in class, man, and they'll light it up. They talk about things that they should never talk about around a guy. A 61-year-old guy, they just say it. They don't have any shame at all. They just say it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and it was like that in yoga, too. After about 3 or 4 months, I went there for 5 years. It didn't matter what they said in front of them. They did not care. They would tell their do girl talk right in front of me. It didn't bother them a bit. But I was raised different than that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is definitely a degradation going on in society where everything's just becoming more degraded. Word.
There's nothing sacred. There's nothing used to. You know, there are just certain things you didn't say around the opposite sex.
Right. And well, decency.
Now that's kind of gone away. Look, I got to go. I have to leave you. But I've enjoyed this a lot, and I'm sorry for interrupting you so much. Really enjoyed talking to you.
It's been good. We can always do it again sometime or talk about another spicy topic. We should do a politics talk sometime.
Hey, I'm all for it. Do you know Desiree? Do you know Desiree?
Would you say?
The uncatechized theologian or something? Desiree?
I don't know. It's not ringing a bell, but maybe. Okay.
I like to disagree with her on purpose because she don't get mad. We actually talk without getting mad. So we can do that.
Sweet.
Well, all look, right. Tell everybody where to find you on Instagram and Facebook.
That's right. So you can find me on Instagram at Make It Catholic Mama, one word. I also have a YouTube, which really just shows tutorials on how to use some of my Catholic templates. I help Catholic moms and grandmas plan parties, events, funerals, weddings, things like that. I have a lot of resources in my Etsy shop. I'm also going on my own. So if someone's watching this after tonight, I should have my own website and shop. Right now it's a work in progress, but you can check it out, makeitcatholicmama.com.
Well, I'll do that. I appreciate you coming on here.
I always enjoy it, and I really appreciate you having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Say hey to Creeping for me, okay?
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.